Hey there, this is Coach Matt. In this podcast, I would like to talk to you from a little bit different angle about how to plan your time or when you go into the pool to practice something, a particular skill. Now, you may have heard me say or write somewhere else about, you know, when you're planning a practice to pick two or three skills, maybe three at the most, and then you come in open-minded when you're warm up, kind of see what your body is saying and make some decisions whether to carry out your plan or not, or to modify the focal points that you're going to use or whatever. So having that kind of variety is really good, of course. And being open-minded, obviously, we need to do, because we have new information coming to us from our body each day. We're not the same person necessarily 2 days in a row. And, you know, our body may have a little bit different needs than we were aware of when we made the original plan for practice. So what I want to give you is another idea, another perspective. When you go into the pool and you have something that you'd like to see improved, be very intentional about what you intend to do. As a matter of fact, there's some people, some swim students, and I would put myself in that category, is that we do best actually when we take one particular thing and we become kind of obsessive about it. Not in a frustrated, negatively driven kind of way, but we become so curious and so hungry for a breakthrough or an improvement that really we can find ourselves content to take one particular skill and practice after practice after practice. Just keep working on that same skill with different focal points and with different modes of training. So there is variety. I mean, where no two practices are exactly the same. We may be doing different sets, maybe with a tempo, maybe with distance, maybe short repeat, whatever. Could be a whole variety of ways we go about working on it, but we're kind of obsessed with this one particular thing, and we become very intentional and very detailed in our examination of it. So, for example, several years ago, I noticed in my two-beat kick that my right foot, number one, it caught air when it was pulling down. My left one did not. My left one was quiet. And my right foot didn't feel as tightly connected, tightly synchronized to the rest of my action in the front of the body. And so I was like, man, my two legs are not symmetrical, and I don't feel as effective with that right press of the foot like I do with the left. And I wasn't exact, it wasn't obvious exactly why. So over the course of weeks, I'm sure I did not focus on this all the time, but really over the course of months, it was definitely the dominant thing. And some of my swims, and I was doing most of this in open water, most of my swims, this was catching my attention, and I would work on it. I would swim along, I'd make some observations, and then I would pull out two or three focal point experiments to kind of see if I do this, how will this change things? And so I'd swim along for several thousand meters, and then I would, every few hundred strokes, I'd switch the focal point and try this, and then I'd go again, right? And then I'd give my brain a rest, and I'd think about something else for a while, then I'd come back to it, test it out again. And I would do it pretty soon, bam. First thing is I became aware of a lot more fine details surrounding the kick, because I was so paying so much attention to it. And I was trying so many experiments that it was revealing new little nuances, things that I hadn't noticed before about the kick. And then eventually I solved it. I figured out why that right foot was not doing exactly the same thing as the left foot. And out of that whole thing was born the way that I teach two-beat kick now. So if you've been in a lesson with me where I've taught two-beat kick, I teach you how to form the kick with an arc, with hip torque, instead of a bend of the knee so much. Instead of it being a linear action of the knee and thigh, It is now a three-dimensional arcing action happening from the rotation of the hip joints and the ankle. So anyways, there's more on that in the dojo. There are articles talking about how to form the two-beat kick in this way, and of course I teach it that way. But anyways, that's beside the point. We're getting back to the main point of this podcast, which is getting in the pool and letting it be okay to be obsessed with a particular skill that you want to improve or make a breakthrough in. And the thing is, you get in the water and you're intentional about it. You're like, all right, I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to try these different ways of working on it. I'm going to try these different focal points. And you take notes, and maybe you don't find your breakthrough, but maybe through a process of elimination, you take things off this. Well, I tried that, and that didn't seem to make an effect. So, okay, I'll set that aside. And, you know, you set aside some ideas, and then you get... When you try certain things that you haven't tried before, even if that thing doesn't work, it does open up new ideas to you. It does open up new observations. So it may not directly give you the solution, but it may give you new things to explore and think about, which take you on the path towards your solution. So that's one thing about being very intentional, being very obsessed about a particular change. The sheer amount of time and effort you put into it starts to yield more territory and more possibilities. Now, another aspect of being very intentional, that thought just ran away. Come back here, you squirmy little thought. All right, it's gone. I'll go on another track. So, oh yes, there it is. I found it. It came back in. Okay, I got it firmly in my hand. Now, the other thing about being very intentional, and I realize perhaps this is the hesitation some people have to being really intentional about one particular thing, and I've talked about this before, is because you're worried about practicing the wrong thing. Like, you're going to apply a change, you think it's making things better, so you keep doing it, and then you're worried about showing up and seeing the coach, and the coach says, no, that's not it. And you're like, I wasted all that time. But no. You did not waste all that time, okay? You've got to understand this. When you set an intention, and then you apply a certain focal point, a certain command to your body, and it starts changing things, you notice that it changes things, you can tell that it's changed something. The fact is, you change something in your body. You change something in your movement pattern, and you have affected a new neural circuit. You have made it possible. You have given birth to new neural circuits, all right? And when you do that once, it gets easier to do it a second time. And when you do it a second time, it gets easier to do it a third time and a fourth time. And you build momentum in your ability to make changes to your stroke. So even if out of 20 changes you tried to make, you were mistaken in the changes you made on 18 of them, all 20 of them count towards your ability, improving your ability to make changes in your body. Okay, so they all count at your changeability. Okay, so then when you go to the coach, let's say you tried, like me, you were trying something on your 2-beat kick and you thought, all right, you interpreted something in a video or something, you saw somebody write about it, and you went and applied this idea, and then you come to Coach Matt, and Coach Matt's like, well, I see what you're trying to do, but no, you could do it better. The thing is, when I give you that correction, when I give you that adjustment, that improved understanding of what you're supposed to do, just neurologically, it's going to be easier for you to make the change now because you practiced making change. So there's two elements there, the accuracy of your understanding and the ability to change itself. So the ability to change is actually the hard part. And once you've got that ability improved and strengthened, just adding new insight, new information, that's kind of the easy part. And you just get new information, so you make a new adjustment. And so then as you go along in your swimming practice or your movement art practice of any type, you don't mind getting new input. You're not threatened. You're not feeling threatened by new information or going to a coach who might point out something wrong, because it's not this big deal to make a big change anymore. Not so much. Granted, there could be some radical things, like, anyways, that's another topic. But just emotionally, it might be difficult, but neurologically, it won't be that difficult because you're better at making changes, okay? That's what intentionality will do for you. But if you get in the pool and you're kind of wishy-washy, well, I'm gonna try this, but I'm not sure, and, you know, well, maybe it's right, maybe it's not, that whole atmosphere that you create is hindering your changeability. So you've got to go in, even if you're guessing, just make a decision. Say, all right, I want this to change. I'm going to try this focal point. I'm going to look for it to create this effect, something I feel or something I can measure. And I'm going to work on that. And I'm going to work to make that effect. And you just keep going. And you learn things as you go. And maybe you make the change. And then when you go and you get some feedback from a coach or another swimmer, then that can tell you, that can help you hone in, that can help you improve the accuracy of your understanding of what you're working on. Then you get back to work, you take that new piece of information, go back into your pool laboratory, and you work on it some more. And you get better and better at making changes, and you get smarter and smarter too. You get your nuanced understanding of how the stroke works gets deeper. And so I know some of you have given me compliments and encouragement because you appreciate the level of detail, the depth, the nuance, the way that I can identify and explain things to you. Thank you for that. That's encouraged me. But here's my secret. I just told it to you. That's how I acquired that kind of nuance, is through this trial and error process and doing it without having an emotional storm when I've made a mistake. Just remain neutral. Oh, okay, that didn't work. I'm gonna try something else. I'm gonna go get some new information. That's the key. You've got to be able to go in, experiment, try things, be very intentional, see what it does, regardless of whether it's successful or not, learn from it, turn around, try some more experiments until you breakthrough. Or even if you don't break through, you just got a whole lot smarter. You just know what doesn't work. So now you can turn around and say, hey, I see what you're doing. Let me tell you, that doesn't work. You just save somebody a lot of time by helping them understand. So your failures and your successes are still important bits of intelligence and knowledge that goes in your pocket because you earned it. So I just want to encourage you with that and help you not be afraid to go in the pool. Be very intentional about what you're going to do. Don't, even if you're an obsessive kind of person, go with it. Be obsessed about that thing for a while. And and enjoy it. Kind of run with that part of your personality. If that's not your personality, that doesn't attract you, then that's okay. But the part about being intentional, going in and not being too worried about the inaccuracy of your understanding, just get in there and practice making changes on your stroke, and that's going to benefit you in itself. All right? I hope that will help some of you feel encouraged and feel more certain, more confident in your ability to do good practices and not be wasting your time, because you are not wasting your time. All right? I believe in you. Talk to you later.